In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God pairs his word with created things. He united his word to plants so they might reproduce each according to their kinds. The same with the fish, the birds, and the animals. They, because of God's word, they still multiply. God's word allows them to eat and be satisfied. God unites his word to created things because he created all of this for us embodied souls. We are far more than minds, far more than intellects. We are far more than emotions and feelings, and we even are far more than a soul. We have what the angels lack, a body, a real and physical body. And so we can enjoy creation in a way that those angels cannot, through our senses. So God pairs his word to physical things because we are physical creatures. God unites his word to physical things because he desires to pour out his love on us in physical and real, concrete ways. Perhaps this is most obvious at dinner. Food should taste good, but it should also smell good and look good and even have good texture. It's a delight to all of our senses. For in the beginning, God planted trees that were both good for food and pleasing to the eye. He pinned his word to created things so that man might be blessed through them. Two trees stood out, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. To the tree of life, God attached a word of life. Those who eat would live. To the tree of knowledge of good and evil, God attached a different word. On the day you eat of it, you will surely die. The tree in and of itself was a beautiful, delicious tree. There was nothing wrong with it, but the word of God had set it apart to teach man contentment. God is good, and he gives only good and wonderful blessings to his creatures. He gives many blessings, far more than Adam and Eve deserved, far more than you and I deserve, but he desires contentment with those blessings. He was not withholding anything from Adam or Eve, but he was withholding the knowledge that is evil. Like a parent who limits what his child sees so as not to scar them, or like a parent who teaches his children to do good, and then evil is the opposite of that, so also God dealt with Adam and Eve. God pinned his word to the tree, and so Satan did not attack the tree, he attacked the word of God. Did God really say? So Adam's first sin is not taking a bite of fruit, but it's unbelief. He ate because he doubted the word of God. He did not believe the word. He based his decisions on his own thoughts, his own reasons, on what he thought was good and what was evil. The result was death of the body, corruption of the soul, and banishment from the tree of life. You inherited this sin. But you cannot blame Adam. For in unbelief, you too grasp for things God has not given. Contentment flees and covetousness reigns. Like the tree of knowledge of good and evil, in and of itself, the things are good. But when we take what God has not given, it is sin. This happens because we do not trust our God to care for us. Like Adam, we're not quite sure if he really has our best intentions in mind. So we decide what is good, we decide what is evil. And what is good for you may not be good for me. We decide how to live our lives, with whom we want to live with, how to raise our children, how to spend our money, where to live. We even decide what our goals are, and no one from the church is going to tell me otherwise. It's a cunning way to say that God's word has nothing to say about this. So like Adam, we believe Satan's lies. And we lust for things God has not given. We stuff our faces and gorge our finances. He who wants a little always wants a little more. He who cannot wait does not live by the word of God. The result is death of the body and of the soul, and banishment from the eternal tree of life. But in mercy, God still unites his word to created things. In the Old Testament, they lived by the word of God. But God pinned that word to circumcision and to sacrifices. In Egypt, he paired that word to a roasted lamb and its blood painted on the door frames of the houses. So they were saved from that angel of death by the word of God united to a lamb. In these last days, he has personally united the word to flesh and blood. And then that fleshy word was attached to a new tree of life. There he took death into his body and corruption into his soul. He gave, he bled, he died, he was buried to atone for the sins of the whole world. Yet this tree of life is not gone. It comes to you right here, right now in the Holy Supper. Jesus still attaches his word to created things because he redeemed you as body and soul. He redeemed you as an embodied soul forever. He unites his word to physical things so you might live forever as a physical creature. Bread is his body, wine is his blood. Cherubim do not bar you from this tree of life, but they urge you to come and eat. Unlike the Passover supper, it's not a one-time event or to be celebrated once a year. But as often as you desire it, come. For the food will never be emptied, and the cup will never run dry. God attaches his word to this supper. He says, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood will live, and I will raise him up on the last day." Adam's food brought death. This food, this divine food, brings life to your soul and your body. By eating what God did not give, Adam lost paradise. Yet by eating what God now places before you, you receive paradise. Adam ate in unbelief, eat in faith. Trust the Lord when he says, "This is my body." Do not doubt, but believe that that consecrated bread is Christ's body and that blessed wine is Christ's blood. God said, "Eat for the forgiveness of sins." Do not doubt, but believe that when the creator of heaven and earth, who cares for those distant galaxies and yet knows the intricacies of an atom, and before whom angels hide their faces, when that God puts himself inside of your mouth, believe that it will be for your eternal good. He will forgive you. And so life and salvation will also be yours. Unlike Adam, be content with that tree of life. Do not live for what spoils, but live for what will last forever. Do not grow tired of this feast, but delight in what God has given to you again and again. Do not think that you know what is best for you, but trust your Heavenly Father to give you what is best for you. And here he gives you far more than you can possibly know. Do not trust the created thing, but trust the word of God. For the word of God is the power. Trust the word of God, that word made flesh, united to his creation. For this is the feast of life. This is the medicine of immortality, the remedy against death. And you who eat will live forever. God paired his word to this food because he created you to be embodied souls forever. He created you to eat and to live. So eat in faith, and so live. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.